One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away, for he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Now tell you something else. I'd rather listen to the Lord. That's the reason I read the Bible through out loud every year. I've read my four chapters this morning out loud. People say, well, why do you read it out loud? Well, in the first place, I read it on the knees because it humbles the flesh. And anything that'll get me more humble will get me more knowledge and more wisdom. And you may not have sense enough to know that your big enemy is P-R-I-D-E. Fact is, you can't even spell it without I. And I is always in the middle of it. Have you ever noticed that? Just like I is right in the middle of sin, and there's just one thing wrong with you, it's you. And that same thing's wrong with me, just me. I've got to where I never blame people for my failures. It's always me. I talked to a man in jail yesterday here, and he said, well, it's so. I said, no, it's the devil in you. You've had every opportunity, but you've turned your back on it. He said, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now then, verse 30, there's no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Now figure out one thing. Are you for the Lord or against him? Jesus said, everyone's either for me or against me. You're gathering with me or scattering abroad. Now then, he said there's no wisdom. If a man were to be against God, for instance, a communist, you have any wisdom? Couldn't have any. Could an unsaved political leader have any wisdom? Not a bit. Then why could we trust our political leaders if they do not know Jesus? They have no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel, if they're against the Lord. Now verse 31. Safety is of the Lord. There is no danger inside the will of God. There's no safety outside the will of God. I was flying along in this direction, and I came into some very turbulent weather. Now, I believe in making all preparation. I believe that the plane needs to be properly checked. But, dear friends, when you've done everything you know to do, I know I had ice boxes and records that were almost flying all over the plane. Fell all on top of me and around me. I learned some things. But I was reminded that the safety is with the Lord. And I believe in stowing a few flowers as you go along, not for any selfish reason that I know of, but the first time I ever came to this big city of Denver, Brother brought me here. And I was tremendously impressed. He rented an auditorium in a hotel, Cosmopolitan or Metropolitan or something. I remember that. And he took me down there and took care of all the expenses of it, I believe, and shared a love gift and encouraged my heart. And that was the beginning, actually, of the ministry that has continued to increase and put me in contact with some of the sweetest preachers and Christians I've ever known in my life. I shall never get used to such generosity and liberality and recognition of the gospel that we preach. But dear friends, remember one thing. Our safety is with the Lord. And when that plane began to pop and jump, and the violent clouds began to seem like draw it up and pull it down, and the turbulence increased, it's just good to know who the captain of your ship is. You never know what kind of boat you're on until you put her through the storm. Then you can tell. We've gone through a tremendous storm. And there was an old ship down the Intercoastal Canal known as the Padre Island Cruiser. And she'd gone down to berth herself permanently. Her pleasure cruises were over. She'd been the one could sail the guff and go through the waves and was plush in all of her rooms and decks and buildings and glass and all of it. And yet, she made her way down the intercoastal and pushed up her nose upon the shore and began to settle down in the mud. And with each increasing year, she'd sink a little deeper. She was plundered and pillaged and was broken to pieces inside, and things were stolen. The old thing sat there, pitiful looking old sight. I've flown over it even at night when the moonlight was shining, and I've seen the old ship sitting there just as still as death. I've gone down by there in the night in a boat. I'd look over and see her old hull sticking up there in the moonlight. And the thought was this: she'll never sail again. She couldn't sail again. She's sunk in the mud. And yet, a storm brought her up. Old Beulah came along and began to tug and pull and shake. And she began to tremble under the weight of the mighty waves and storm and wind. And I think that old ship somehow caught a little taste of her sailing pride and said, "My, I may sail again. If that wind will keep blowing and the tide rising, I'm shaking loose now. I'm coming up. Now get on top and I'm going to sail again." And after a while, what a sight. In the midst of that awful storm, old Padre Island Cruiser kindly turned around in the waves and started back toward the port of Corpus Christi, Texas. Oh, I know she was limping, taking on water, but that old thing was floating. And down she floated 5 miles. 5 miles. Stayed in the old intercoastal canal, sweeping piers as she went. Nothing could stop her with those tremendous waves, and she was rolling along. 5 miles down the way. So much water got in the old Padre Island Cruiser till she breathed her last breath and strangled to death. And went down to the bottom, inside the Intercoastal Canal. A few days after that, I'd flown over and I saw the old Padre Island Cruiser was gone. What a mystery. How in the world could it shake loose after being sunk in the mud so long? And yet, I got in the boat and I started down by the 101 marker and on across Baffin Bay, and I looked up. It is at night. And I saw a blinking light, a red light, and a ringing bell. And that means danger in the intercoastal. Don't come close. And dear friend, that was just the marker for the old Padre Island Cruiser. She wasn't stormproof. She'd been in the mud too long. She'd been pillaged and plundered by the world. And when she sought to sail and make it to the harbor, she never made it. Dear friends, our country's full of people just like that. They can't stand the storm. Brother, before you start sailing, you better bail out the water and fix the leaks. I give you my text found in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 10. I stayed in the mount. Moses said, "I stayed in the mount." People have lost their staying ability, their sticking ability. Folks have become unstable. Characters have been pillaged and shattered. And honest is a thing of the past. And people will break their promise and never have any compunction of conscience about it. Moses said, "I stayed in the mount." You know how long he stayed in the mount? He stayed in the mount long enough to get all that God wanted him to have to make him live an overcoming life and fix him at the age of 120 where he could climb a mountain called Nebo and then climb up on Pisgah. And from Pisgah's lofty height, he viewed his home and took his flight. The old songwriter said, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell. Sweet hour of prayer. Moses had had many prayer meetings. He'd had prayer meetings when it looked like the ship was sinking. And God said, no, you go draw the line and separate them. And Moses was a man of prayer, but there came a time, and there will come a time, when you and I will be dismissed from the prayer service. And we'll be in the present service of the Lord. You have your Bible. Turn to John chapter 10. This is one of the great chapters of the Bible. Now, I know that I'm going to be limited because of the next service in just a little bit. But in the 10th chapter, Jesus begins saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, that means it's twice important, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Would you agree with me real quickly that we'll hasten on, that we've got to go to heaven through the door? Now, not through the keyhole. If it's through the keyhole, I'd be wanting to know what the key was. But since I have the door, that's Jesus, I'll go through the door. A lot of people say, we have the key, you know. We've got the key. I don't need the key if I've got the door. And so Jesus is going to tell us in a moment what the door is. Now, he said, if any man tries to get up some other way, he's a thief and he's a robber, and you can put one thing down. Though there's a heap of stealing going on, and we've got all sorts of fly sky patrols and flying helicopters, and it's becoming now look like a necessity to start patrolling the cities with helicopters to protect the people and the women that walk on the street and the little girls that leave the schoolroom when the men come and seek to pick them up and taken to the zoo or some other place for a purpose of sin. But brother, there's coming a day when I'm going to live in a city that's going to be clean and there'll be no danger. Amen. My Bible said the little children, the streets will be filled with little children playing in the streets, and none of them will get run over because there won't be any drunk drivers. Brother, we've got better days ahead, and I'll tell you, they're not too far ahead either. When I started preaching and God began to give me some wisdom to preach, I said that if we ever let the altar fires of evangelism go out, this nation will burn with the wrong kind of flame. And now we're burning. Amen. Our churches have forsaken the ship of evangelism and soul winning, and the dry rot set in. And now then, look at the violence and sin and meanness of every race in America. When God told you that violence would cover the face of the earth just before Jesus came, he meant exactly that. Now, God is not the author of confusion or violence, but when God saw it coming, he told us about it. That's not going to steal my peace. And it's not going to drive me to distraction. Just drive me a little closer to my refuge. All right. And so, in this chapter, he said you can't get in except through the door. Let's see what the door. Verse 7, then Jesus said again unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Hey, would you like to go to heaven today? Then you'll have to go through the door. Not through the Virgin Mary, not through the Catholic Church or the Church of Christ or the Baptist Church. You're going to go through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and every priest standeth daily offering, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. That's not possible for a man to forgive you of sin except Jesus. That's the gospel. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I first received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and how he rose again according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. And Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That same chapter, verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And he said, the grace of God which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but Christ, or grace in me. Think about that. Dear friend, what we need is what Jesus is going to offer right here. First of all, we've got to go through the door to get inside where God's got all of his sweet things for his children. It's not enough to stand on the outside looking in. Now then, verse 10, and we'll have to close the message with this promise. He said, I am come. I like that. That kind of blessed me this morning. He said, I am come. He didn't say, I am coming. He said, I'm come. I'm present. Brother, there are people that are still looking for the Messiah, but he's here. The blind man, when he got his eyes and went to the pool of Siloam, came back seeing, and his family booted him out and refused to listen to his testimony. And then the synagogue put him out, and it looked like he lost many of his friends. And then when he had looked like lost everything, Jesus came up again. And he said, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He said, "I'd like to meet him. I don't have any synagogue left. My rabbi sure proved untrue. My mother and daddy looked like failed in a pinch. And my friends don't seem to understand, but praise God, I'm sure still seeing with 20/20 vision." That's one thing they haven't taken away from me. Jesus said, "You're talking to the Messiah now. Talking to him. I that speak unto thee am he." And the Bible said, he believed and worshiped him. Jesus said, John 10:10, "I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." All right. There are two things in that verse. Number one, Jesus had to come before we could have it. And every Old Testament saint went to heaven on the credit, looking forward to the coming of Jesus. You know, I've often thought about when the two astronauts, Moses and Elijah, when they came back in on Circle N. Of course, our generation thinks it's brand new, you know. My brother Enoch sailed around in space and flew every which way he wanted to go. Moses and Elijah came back and circled in when Peter, James, and John's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you know what they were talking about? They're talking about the purchase price of their redemption. Moses and Elijah, reckon what they said. It's not recorded. But they talked about his decease. Jesus said, "Well, fellas, I want y'all to know now that my train's running right on time. I want you to know that you're secure." You know, we hear a lot about social security these days. Brother, we need some spiritual security. That's in Christ. And he said, "I want you to know now that everything's coming along fine. I'm nearing the cross. I'm nearing the cross." And Peter, James, and John had a tremendous experience with a transfigured Christ yonder on the Mount of Transfiguration. But listen, he said, "I'm come that you might have life." Now, that's number one. You'll never have more abundant life until you have life. You'll never add to life till you have life. And we'll never have an abundant life or more abundant life until we've been born again. Amen. And that's it. The abundant life has its origin in the new birth. Christians ought to outlive and outdie everybody. We have no right to live like other people. We have no right to die like other people. Say what you will in keeping with the message. You know, I don't think I've ever had an audience that leaned heavier on the truth of faith. I mean, I've preached faith and all of that, but I tell you, it seems to me that people are coming to the place, they're going to either look up or go down. Amen. I mean, something's got to happen in the lives of God's people if we're going to make it this time. Jesus came, he said, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith in the earth?" And he said, "How is it that you have no faith?" Jesus was always talking about faith. And Paul talked about mutual faith. And he talked about your faith groweth exceedingly. Dear friends, there's only one difference between a modernist and a real Christian, and that's faith. There's only one book of faith, and it's the Bible. How in the world could a Christian live in these turbulent times without faith? He said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant." Now then, after he told them that, he gave this marvelous three verses. He said, "I know my sheep and they hear my voice." And he said, "They follow me." And you know, when you boil the Christian life down, there's just one thing to it, and that's just following Jesus. Wherever he goes, that's where I'm going. Just following Jesus. As I close this message, let me ask you this question. Are you really one of his sheep? Can you hear his voice? Do you recognize his voice when you hear it? The most amazing thing in all of my life is this book right here. And the preaching of this book. Everything that we have, everything, every ministry we have, the six homes, the radio ministry, all of it rotates around this book right here. I mean, there's no other way. You couldn't, I mean, this Bible is a miraculous book. It'll bring a miraculous faith. It'll bring miraculous provisions. And it brings down miraculous power. Listen, dear friend, we don't need to see the shepherd, but we do need to hear him. Notice what he said now. This is all the message. He said, they follow me and I give them something. He didn't say I sell them something, I give them something. I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then, 1 John 4:4, that couples it all and ties it up. He said, he that is in you is greater than he's in the world. Then what right do we have to let the world overcome us? I've had conferences with people one after another since I've been here. Listen, dear friends, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're to have complete victory today. I heard about his healing, of his precious love revealing. I made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, dear friends, and he bought me. And then he redeemed me, and he gave me complete victory. And you can have that victory in Christ today. And until we have it, we'll never fill the rest of these empty pews. God's people must put on a demonstration, and I'm not talking about a long march somewhere. I'm talking about a spiritual demonstration of the power of God to overcome in our lives. Bow your heads while we pray. I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I'd like to ask my brother to sing while our heads are bowed this morning. And as he sings, the pastor will be here at the front, and he wants to help you, and we want to help you. And while you sit here and we close this service in the next 3 or 4 minutes, and brother sings, greater than the ocean, greater than the miracles of man, is Jesus. I wonder how many of you need to come and renew your faith and your vow to God. Need to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Do it today while we close the service in prayer.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Are You One of His Sheep? If you would like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3158, 3158. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of $10. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our address, the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning, Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. It's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So Now, the offer today is a message and song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee.